Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And my name is Ak, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, which is weird because I kind of look like Kate Moss.
Well, you look like a hairier, scarier version of Kate Moss.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Is that fair?
That is very fair. Yep.
Anyways, this is of course, Fat Guys at the Movies. We've got a brand new guest host this week. This is Ike from Mike. Is the show called Mike and Ike's, or it's the Mike and Ike?
The video show is called The Mike and Ike Show, and then the podcast is called Mike and Ike's All-Star Summer Jamboree.
Wow. Even in the winter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, hey, it's always summer in Mike and Ike's world.
You know it.
And the reason is I don't really care anything about these guys, but they were named after candy, so I said they would be the perfect fit. The show would be a perfect fit to bring on one of them to the Fat Guys of the Movies.
Oh, yeah. I am just so sweet.
And how many flavors of theirs is there of the Mike and Ike's?
Oh, we have many, many flavors. It depends on the day and our mood.
That's true. That works. Anyways, before we move on and we talk a little bit about where Ike comes from and how he came to be and what he does in his vast wasteland of experience, we're going to tell you how to get a hold of us. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can search us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. And we show up. You can also go to Facebook, which is facebook.com/FGATM. Become a fan of that, and then we'll have validation of how cool we are. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can call us at 740-205-6456. Anybody who wants to call, do call. We actually have two voicemails this week. We'll be answering those in the third segment. And if you also, you know what? If you're a user of Get Glue, you can go to Get Glue and check in to Fat Guys of the Movies.
Okay, I got a real quick question for you here.
A real fat question?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Might as well keep it in theme here. What is Get Glue? What is that?
I have no idea. It's one of those social networking things that that Meryl Barr from the Idiot Boxers decided to set up for us. And I don't do Get Glue just because, as I understand it, you can check in and you can say, and then you can go to the page and see what people say about it. So it's kind of like a page. I don't do it because usually if I'm going to say, hey, I'm watching something and put it on Twitter, I'll just go to Twitter and say, hey, I'm watching.
So it's someplace else to go, hey, look at what I'm doing.
Exactly. It's a total narcissistic social media thing. But yes, if you do use Get Glue, go there, check in, and then other Get Glue users, more than the seven that have actually listened to the show, can go and check that out. So we have that, and like I said, we'll do the voicemails later. But first, Ike, tell us a little bit about your show, who you are, what you do, anything that doesn't have an outstanding warrant.
Nothing.
It's going to be a short conversation.
Yeah, really? All right. Oh, first off, by the way, got to tell you, I did, in fact, just like your Facebook page from our Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, you are officially locked by us. Okay, let's see here.
But that only counts as one like. There's not a like for Mike and a like for Mike. No.
Our page is just the Mike and Ike page, so it's both of us. But we agree on it, so it's all good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. All right, how to describe what we do? Well, we were once described by another critic way, way, way back in the day as some of the wittiest, most insightful, and strangest film criticism out there. We've also been told that we owe the entire entertainment industry an apology. True story, I'm very proud of that one.
As you should. Everybody should owe the entertainment industry an apology. If you don't owe anybody in the entertainment industry an apology, you're not being a true critic.
I like the way you think, sir.
Who said that? Who said that, anyways? And do they owe you an apology?
I have no idea, but I'll take it from them.
Okay.
And some candy.
Some Mike and Ike's?
Yes, exactly. You know, I've never even eaten those before. Go figure.
How can you have not eaten Mike and Ike's?
Well, because they stole our name.
Shame on you. You're un-American. Have you had tot tamales?
Those I have had.
Okay, they're fruit-flavored hot tamales without the spices.
I can accept that.
Okay.
Okay, how to describe what we do? Well, we've got two seasons of our web show. The first season, which is on youtube.com/MikeandIke01.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like youtube.com. So people are like, wait, what is this YouTube you're talking about? You're like, wait, it's .com, not .net. I'm sorry.
Thank you. But we're on YouTube. You can find us at Mackinac01, and the first season is just us doing random weird stuff, talking about movies. Also, our first short horror film is up there. It's our zombie-less zombie film called Surprise, and it was actually called Creepy, Atmospheric, and my favorite, Valutiny.
What the heck does that mean?
Kind of.
Is that a good thing?
Yes, reminiscent of the director Val Lewton.
Oh, okay.
That one made me very, very happy. Awesome. And if you want to check out the rest of our stuff, it's at our UK home at geekplanetonline.com, which is a wonderful website filled with amazing fan geeks. And the second series of our video show is there. And in that, we have a different format. We're doing what we like to call common tariffs. We show like a half hour of old flicks in the public domain, so we don't got to pay for them. And
yeah, sure.
We don't just do Mystery Science Theater style jokes. We also actually do research and give you actual information about the films, except for the stuff we make up.
You can make that. Yeah, I mean, I it's more fun to make stuff up.
But, I mean, we do actually give you genuine information about the movies as well. And then we've also got our podcast, which you can also get at iTunes, Mackinac's All-Star Summer Jamboree. And it's also at Geek Planet Online. We're also on Facebook, The Mackinac Show. We're pretty much everywhere. We do all sorts of things, and we don't get paid for any of it.
They're under your couch.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Under your porch. They're behind you when you feel that little itchiness on your neck and you're alone in the house. That's Mike and I.
That is us. Oh, yeah. We're the ones poking you from behind when you least expect it.
Not just on Facebook.
Yeah, we've actually done two short horror films. Our second horror short, the one we did last Valentine's Day, is called Skeletons. And that's also apparently...
I watched that one. You sent that one to me. I watched that.
Oh, you did actually watch that?
I did watch that.
Oh, you never told us. Did you hate it that much?
No. I it was like so late after you said it that it felt so weird saying like, yeah, it was okay. It was good. I mean, it was one of those one shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is always a challenge to do, and I thought you did a good job with that.
Thank you. That's cool. I will let the lineman know that you actually did get to see it. But yeah, all of our horror films, our horror shorts, are one shots. We like playing around with that format.
Yeah.
The first one, Surprise, our zombie-less zombie short, is basically a 6-minute monologue.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the woman who played the woman in Surprise. She, I mean, in Skeletons, she's also in Surprise.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's the same chick, Colleen McEwen. Hey, Colleen, you rock.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, so, I'm done now.
No, that's cool. I'll ask you later on why you are hosted on a UK site later on. But right now, we got to move into doing the reviews.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Because the big movies.
Well, you're going to be doing the first one.
I'll do the first one. There are two big number twos this weekend. Hollywood dropped two number twos on us.
Insert obvious one, joke here.
Aha. The first one is Kung Fu Panda 2, in which Po, the dragon warrior panda, has to use his kung fu to battle an evil peacock. Yes, an evil peacock. Who has created a kung fu killing weapon.
It's a peacock?
It's a peacock played by Gary Oldman, so don't diss that. Here's the trailer.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Po, I have received a message. Our greatest masters are disappearing. I fear this is the work of Lord Shen, who has unleashed a new kind of threat on our world. This could mean the end of Kung Fu.
But I just got Kung Fu.
And now you must save it. Take the five. It is time for the next phase of your journey.
My fist hungers for justice.
That was my fist.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. You heard that last we went on the break on the Kung Fu Panda 2 trailer. You didn't get a chance to see this, did you, Ike?
No, I did not. Like I said, we have no connections. We're poor people from Ohio. Even though you're in Ohio, you have connections.
I don't know. I have some connection. I've been doing this for like 9 years, though. So.
Well, there you go. That's a cool. I did watch the first one last night, but I haven't seen the second one.
Did you like the first one?
Oh, I love the first one.
The first one I thought was going to just be like, I actually had it on a list when I was writing for I still write for Film School Rejects, but in the summer of 2008 or the spring of 2008, I had it on the list of 10 movies that are sure to just suck in the summer of 2008. But that was one that I was like, wow, this one actually was really good.
I was genuinely surprised by how good that thing actually was.
Yeah, I was. It was one, because I'm not a big Jack Black fan.
Neither am I.
And it just looked like it was going to be the dumbest thing. But it worked. It was very charming, and it had great animation. It was a lot of fun.
And it's animals doing kung fu. How can you not love?
Well, yeah. I'm sure that somebody could. I'm sure if Uwe Boll made a movie about animals doing kung fu, it would be terrible.
You had to mention that, man. Now my mood is ruined.
There's a Blood Rain 3 coming out with Nazis.
I heard.
Anyways, no Nazis in this movie, way before their time. Kung Fu Panda 2, I have to say, this was one I was real nervous about, because I was like, the first one was really good, and I thought it was clever, but sequels are sometimes really tough, and I just hope that they... I was really going in very nervous into this film. But I have to say, when it finally started rolling, I did find it enjoyable. The first half takes, it's a little bit of a slow starter, because like, even when I said it in the intro, I'm like, it's the bad guy's a peacock. And you're just like, really, seriously? If a peacock was like a Robin going to show up and be like, I'm the evil Robin, kablam.
Oh, come on, they have a good guy who's a mantis.
Well, that I forgive that, because all those are actual kung fu styles.
Oh, yeah, you do have a point there. That's true.
I don't think there's a kung fu style of peacock. Or maybe there is.
Ask Jackie Chan.
I will get him on the phone.
If anybody would know, he would.
He plays monkey in this. He plays monkey.
Did he come back for the second one?
Everybody's back.
Oh, nice.
It takes like an afternoon to record this stuff.
They even brought Dustin Hoffman back, too?
Yeah, Shifu. He's back. So,
oh, very cool.
It's very, very, it's a beautiful looking film. Just like the first one, it's just gorgeous looking. The 3D is actually really good, as it usually is with animation. Sometimes live action, whether it's post-converted or whatever, but when they just generate it as 3D in animation, especially something like this, where you have them jumping off of cliffs and flying and doing kung fu, it looks brilliant. And it's a simpler story. It sort of also tells a little bit of Po's origins.
Ooh.
Why he ended up with a goose to raise him as a child.
You find that out in this one.
You do find that out, yes. So it does tie in things to the first movie. It's not as good as the first movie, but it's still pretty good. I still had a lot of fun. It's a relatively short film.
That
so it's not this laboring
yeah.
2.5 hours. It's like an hour and a half easy. And it's very charming and fun and lovable and it's very worthy of the second film, it's the second film. So
how are the kung fu battles?
Oh, they're awesome. I mean the action in this movie, it really, really pushes the envelope on what you can do with the virtual camera. I mean, it takes you places, it shows things. It's you're the camera's part of it, but it's also not nauseating. Because sometimes they do that, especially live action, because they try to get too gritty. Mm-hmm. But this one's very smooth, and it really puts you in the middle of the action. And like I said, in the 3D, it looks fantastic. This is definitely a movie to see on the big screen.
Yeah, I'm definitely checking it out this weekend. I was going to anyway, but now that I know they got the whole cast back, and Gary Oldman, which is a plus, I'm definitely there.
As an evil peacock. That's awesome.
Yeah, the more I think about it, that is pretty cool.
So yeah, I'm going to give Kung Fu Panda a rocks. So go check that one out. And then the next one, let's move right into the next one. The next big number two, which is The Hangover Part Two. The wolf pack returns for Stu's wedding in Thailand and have a similar blackout, leaving them lost in Bangkok.
Where are you guys?
I don't know. We woke up in some city.
Is Teddy with you?
They've been looking for him all morning.
I can't believe this is happening again.
It's Laura's little brother. He's lost. We're not going back without Teddy.
We love to party.
All I wanted was a bachelor brunch.
Ciao.
What are you doing here?
What is my plus one?
We had a sick night.
Check your pockets. There might be clues.
Chiang Mai Monastery.
I don't remember any of this.
Now, you did get a chance to see this.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? Well, first, wait, before you, did you like the first one?
I did not.
Okay. Oh, so you did not like
I was just about to go in it. I was going to say, full disclosure, the first one did not impress me at all. I mean, I have a hard enough time liking characters in horror flicks. It's even worse for comedies for me, and I did not like a single person in the first film at all. I didn't care.
And there were no animals doing kung fu at all.
No, exactly. You know, I didn't care what happened to them. To me, you know, it wasn't even a good anti-binge drinking thing. You know, it just seemed to more, let's, you know, sure, they're all trying to figure out what happened, but yeah, they're going to go drink again. Yay.
Yeah. So you did not like. So you didn't like the first one. What are your thoughts on this new one?
Let me put it to you this way. Okay. It's better than Birdemic.
I as I understand it, the bird flu is better than Birdemic.
Everything is better than Birdemic. As far really? That is, well, I'm not going to go on to that hatred right here. We're talking about Hangover 2. Just say
that, go on to hatred for that.
I'll save the hatred for that. We did a whole podcast about how much we hated Birdemic. That movie actually physically hurt us.
Really?
The sound quality. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
You're
not selling
man.
It. You're not selling it very well at this point.
Good. I don't want people to see it. The sound quality in it is so bad. Every scene, there's like a new sound level to it, and it's actually painful.
Wow.
At least
it's on Netflix. Is it on Netflix?
That I do not know. We actually paid to buy the DVD because, Severin Films made a comment about our hatred for it before we'd seen it.
Oh, okay.
Which, and they had a right to, so we said, all right, we will watch it, and if we like it, we will publicly apologize. Instead, we did a half-hour podcast talking about how much we hate it and everybody who loves it.
How much it's awful.
Yeah. Exactly. But anyway,
it's
Hangover
not even
2.
Like The Room. Okay, we'll talk at some point else.
Yeah, we can get to that later. But yes. As far as Hangover 2 goes, it's the same film.
Yeah.
I mean, do you agree with me? It's the same movie.
Almost. And I'll say it's almost the same movie. It's just, it's dirtier. It's not in a dirty joke sort of way. It's just, it's physically dirtier.
Yeah.
Grimier, sweatier, and it's a smarmier film.
Yeah.
It's a smarmier version of The Hangover. That was one of my problems with it, is I'm like, Todd Phillips can do some very funny things.
What else has he done, by the way?
Oh, he's done like stuff like Old School, and he did the Hangover. He did Due Date last year.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that was one of my problems with Due Date, is Due Date was, it was too gritty, and it just there was nothing likable about Due Date. It had funny parts.
I didn't even like the monkey in The Hangover 2.
And to not like a monkey that smokes.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. I literally just sat there the entire film going, wow, I could be dying right now instead of watching this movie.
Well, you know what? We all have a schedule to keep. I could be dying right now.
Well, I mean, I could have been killing myself as opposed to watching the movie.
Oh, well, you know, that's always an option. No, here's the thing with The Hangover. It reeked of the let's just do a sequel. But the thing is, they do. You're right. They literally do the same movie. It's the exact same situation, almost exact same situation. It's a very slight change to it. It's the exact same characters doing the exact same things. They gotta get the clues. They gotta retrace their stuff. They literally have shots in the movie that are repeats of the first movie. And to the point that it's like, but then they have this like 10% of it where they do something a little different, you know, where they're suddenly like, oh, let's have this. And then you're like, okay, well that's different. But why'd they do that different? If they're either going to be complete, they're either going to do something different, or they're just going to, with the same characters, or they're just going to reshoot the whole film. And they reshot like 90% of the film in Bangkok, and then they did like 10% different, which I'm like, well, you're not committing either way at that point. That's what bothered me.
I completely understand. And now I will say this. I read an interview with, what's the director's name again?
Todd Phillips.
That's right. I read an interview with him where he said that if they do a Hangover 3, and apparently they're talking about it, they want to do something completely different for the third one.
I don't know if it'll work. I mean, it's sort of like we'll talk more about how it's going to do in the next segment, but it suffers from the whole we don't know what to do now. Let's do exactly what we did in the original, and that's kind of where they fall. That's their go-to position, and it works at times, but other times you're just like, You're just like, well, I knew that was coming because that's exactly what happened in the first movie. And I didn't find it all that funny. It has some great funny moments, but they're so few and far between. Actually, we got to go to a break here. So when we come back from the next segment, from the next break, we'll talk a little bit more about Hangover 2.
A hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
So we're off the radio now, right?
We are off the radio, so you can swear, you can talk about, you know, whatever you want to, queefing.
Sweet prom, fuck, I hated The Hangover 2.
You didn't say anything about queefing, though.
Well, I'll get to queefing later.
Okay.
Oh, my God. What a bunch of assholes overdosing, and we're supposed to laugh at them. We're supposed to care for these characters. Fuck you, you're idiots.
Well, you know, here's the other thing with Hangover 2. I liked the first Hangover, so, you know.
Okay.
I thought it was cool, and part of what made it work is there was a certain level of charm, even though they're all assholes. There was a certain level of charm, and, like, in particular, because Bradley Cooper's character, he was the dick.
Right.
And I described this in Due Date. One of the things I didn't like about Due Date is they basically had the Hangover characters. They had Robert Downey Jr. was the asshole Bradley Cooper character. Zach Galifianakis was basically the same thing. They just didn't have the Ed Helms character. And he was the softer side. And he balanced the first movie out. He was the guy who was trying to do the right thing. But he was stuck in a shitty relationship and all that kind of thing. Whereas in this one, he's sort of got the golden ticket. I mean, he's got Jamie Chung, for crying out loud, who's like, you just kind of want to put her in a box and put her away and keep her and take her out and play with her every now and then. I
Boxing
don't know.
Helena Part 2.
That's a little creepy. Am I going to get arrested for that? No.
Oh, did you hear about the lawsuit?
What about about Tyson's tattoo artist?
The tattoo guy is suing them for that?
It was dismissed by the judge. It was dismissed on like Tuesday. I got the press release, yeah.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's dumbass anyway.
It's so stupid. But here's the thing. Ed Helms, the character of Stu, he's the one getting married, and of course, and the whole thing is they're, instead of with Justin Bartha's character, who's not one of them running around, instead of losing him, they lose his Ed Helms, Stu's soon-to-be brother-in-law, and he's got to go find him. That's the whole thing. But again, it's that same thing. We lost somebody. We got to go retrace our steps, to the point that they even have him singing a song about the thing, which was, it was these moments that were hilarious and cute in the first one, like when Stu's there singing the song, playing on the piano, and he's like, but if we're all going to be screwed if they kill him or something like that. And this one, they said, well, we need him to sing a song again. And I'm just like, well, now you're just hitting beats to hit beats.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't even see Due Date, I got to admit, because to me it just looked like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 2 Electric Boogaloo.
It was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with assholes.
That's what I had. I had a feeling that I just had no desire to see that movie at all. I'm like, you know, Steve Martin and John Candy are a hell of a lot better than Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah. Although I will say, I now can spell Zach Galifianakis without any problems, because I've had a review like 5 of his movies.
Well, congratulations on that, sir. You have achieved a new level of divinity.
Ah, thank you. But here's the other thing,
God.
Is if you actually watch this Hangover 2, the character of Stu, he's a real asshole in this one. He's not just a nice guy, because in the last one, he was a nice guy who was just caught in a shitty situation.
See, that's what marriage does to you.
He's not even married. He's getting married. So, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like, there's aspects, and I'm not going to say what happens because it would be a spoiler, but there's a certain part in there where I'm like, I think they took this too far, especially for women to like, because they've kind of turned him from being this sort of innocent, sheltered guy who kind of goes on a bender accidentally.
Oh, I know what scene you're talking about.
Yeah, to an asshole who goes on a bender and he's just okay with it now, you know?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I just didn't care.
Yeah, and it is dirtier and greasier. And if you watch it, I needed to take a shower after watching it, because the whole thing, they're in Bangkok, it's hot and sweaty and it's dirty and everything. But the thing is, even as dirty and smarmy as Vegas is, and I've been to Vegas, you've been to Vegas, haven't you?
I have not been to Vegas, no.
Vegas, I mean, but there is a clean Let's just say it's sort of clean debauchery going on in Vegas, where even though it's all, even there's a seedier side and it's not always very pretty, but there's a glitz to it. There's no glitz to the Bangkok they show here.
No.
Does that sound dirty?
No.
There's no glitz on the Bangkok.
Insert obvious joke here.
But, I mean, Ken Jeong is great in the movie. I thought he was funny.
I suppose. I mean, he performed the role well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, I can't fault the actors because, as we know, actors are whores that will take anything as long as there's a paycheck attached.
Of course.
It's kind of sad, but it is the truth. That's, I mean, acting is a job.
The nature of the beast.
Yeah, exactly. So I really can't fault them. I fault their agents, but I can't fault them. It's, to me, it was entirely, did Phillips write it too?
I don't recall if he wrote it I'm not sure.
It's writers. I just blame now, granted, as a comedy writer, God knows I should be wary of saying things aren't funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I did not laugh at all at either of these movies. Nothing struck me as funny in these.
I laughed. There are key points that I laughed, but I can say this. I don't recall laughing at a retread of the first movie joke. And most of
it was all that 10% new stuff you thought was good.
Yeah, or these like one-liners that I'm like, that's funny. Okay, I will admit, that's funny. But like, I mean, even the point, like, again, it's just all the elements, they just switch something out. Instead of a tooth, it's a tattoo. Instead of a baby, it's a monkey. Instead of Vegas, it's Bangkok. And there's, I honestly, I've been trying to think over the last day or so, because I saw it last night, I've been trying to think over the last day, I cannot come up with a movie, with the exception of maybe like a horror slasher film, like a Friday the 13th film, where all they do is literally just replay them. I mean, you could smash yourself in the face with a frying pan and think you're watching the first Hangover. It's just you're kind of blurry.
now you got me thinking about that now.
Yeah, but I mean, is there any movie that was this blatant in just replaying every single joke?
I got the perfect horror flick for you.
Which one?
Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
I have not seen that one. I think I've seen Silent Night, Deadly Night, but
they literally spent 40 minutes of the second flick literally replaying clips from the first movie.
Oh my gosh.
Half of the second one is the first one.
Well, but that doesn't count because they're just clipping it out. There's movies that pad themselves out, but I mean I can't, I'm trying to think, is maybe a Cheech and Chong movie? I mean, where they're just, but even then they would have different jokes.
Yeah, I mean, they always had different pot jokes, even if they were doing the same jokes.
Yeah, I mean, this one, it's the same jokes. I mean, there is a scene with Ken Jeong that is literally, I think, shot by shot the same scene.
You would have thought Gus Van Sant directed this thing.
Yes, there you go. It's almost
and
like...
And can I just say, Van Zant, fuck you for the Psycho remake?
Yes, you can. That's fine.
Thank you.
And I agree with you on that one.
We did one of our earlier videos, we did a... this. We almost got on the DVD for the Psycho Legacy.
Really?
With one of our... we shot a video where we reviewed all six Psycho movies to the tune of Queen's We Will Rock You.
Wait, how many Psycho movies?
Well, six. I'm including Bates Motel and, well, there's Psycho 4, there was Bates Motel, and then Van Zant's remake.
Oh, okay. What was Bates Motel? What was Bates Motel? I remember episode 4.
Yeah. It was a made-for-TV movie, and it wasn't even made for Showtime. Like Psycho 4, it was made for NBC.
Well, that's a mark of quality at that point.
Yeah. And it starred, here's a flashback name for you, Bud Cort.
Bud Cort?
Bud Cort.
As who?
He plays this guy who winds up taking over the Bates Motel.
Wait, I mean, Norman's not even in it anymore?
No, it really has no connection. It's like he takes over the Bates Motel and he thinks weird stuff is happening. He may be crazy. He may not. I don't even remember the film. It was just boring as hell. I only saw it once, and I think it was back in the like late 80s, early 90s when it aired.
Wow.
But yeah, we reviewed all six of them to We Will Rock You, and we performed that song live at a show we did at a gaming convention a couple years ago.
Whoa.
Got a standing ovation. Everybody loved it. The producers of the DVD, they loved it too, but they wouldn't put it on because they were afraid of getting a lawsuit by Disney because Disney owns the right to the Queen songs.
It's parody. It should be protected by parody.
It's totally protected under the fair use law because not only is it parody, but we're also commenting, criticizing the films as well. Mm-hmm. We took two aspects of the fair use law, but they were like, we're afraid of the almighty mouse. We can't put it on.
Send me a copy. I'll put it on Fat Guys in the Movies.
Oh, that's no problem. I will send you the MP3 of it. Yeah, we also put it on our CD that we put out, Don't Punch Me in the Face, I Just Bought New Boobs.
Good for you.
It's over an hour of pot and horror film fueled comedy.
Wow.
And you can get it at geekplanetonline.com, by the way.
Well, speaking of which, wait, isn't this the one? Why do you have a UK website? Explain that to me.
Because we have more fans over in Europe than we have over here in the States.
Are they all centered in, like, the Netherlands? Where drugs are legal?
I mean, we have fans in England, we got fans in Ireland, we got fans in France, and Australia, and Germany. Mm. I mean, we literally have a very small but very dedicated worldwide fan base. It's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. So you always have someone's couch to crash on when you do your bigger international travel.
We've already been told, man. We've been told if we ever get over to Europe, there are so many people who want to put us up for a night or something like that.
That's hilarious. And everyone's like, we're totally taking you to Amsterdam. You're like, we were there yesterday. Can I just go relax? Can we just go see a movie or something? No, we're gonna get pot brownies and have sex with prostitutes.
Hell with the pot brownies, man. We're going into a hash house. I'm bringing out Falcor. We're going nuts for a few hours. But yeah, it's and we're actually we're going to be doing a live show coming up here in June. We're going to be doing our commentary-ing thing over the movie Spider Baby.
Oh, okay.
And we are going to do we're going to do the song live as kind of an ending thing, and we're videotaping it. We're videotaping it as a video on demand thing, so our European fans and our non-Ohio fans, of course, we only have like 3 fans in Ohio, but our non-Ohio fans can see us live. And yeah, we're definitely doing it, and we're flat out saying fuck Disney. We got fair use law on it. We're singing it.
Good for you. Good for you.
I would love the mouse to get pissed off at us, because at least then we get some publicity here in the States.
Oh, wow, that's funny. Anyways, let's finish up the Hangover 2. Do you have anything else you want to say about Hangover 2?
I think I pretty much said it when I said I fucking hate this movie.
Okay, there you go. Well, see, I said on Twitter, I said if you only have one number 2 this weekend, you should probably go see a proctologist, because something's definitely wrong inside of you. But
smart man.
But then you should go to see Kung Fu Panda 2. Not Hangover 2. Maybe rent it, but it's just, I don't know. It's just not as good. Well, and I have to say, Ed Helms is only like 9 years older than Jamie Chung, but it still looks creepy as hell, because she looks she's 16.
I know. There was definitely a Mr. Robinson vibe going on that wasn't
Mr.
very pretty.
Robinson, there was like a Mr. Michael Douglas vibe going on.
Points, man, points. That was good. That was very good.
Yeah, you wonder why Catherine Zeta-Jones bipolar. Because she's getting nailed by Michael Douglas, for crying out loud.
Can you imagine their sex tape?
I don't want to.
You know, I mean, it's. I made a joke once about a sex tape between Ernest Borgnine and Clara Peller. The Michael Douglas, Catherine Zeta-Jones one would be worse.
Yeah, well, because here's the thing. Generally, if you're going to watch pornography, and they're going to do the point of view stuff, and sex tape, that's all it is. And if they actually sprung for a cameraman, it's so hard to watch these without some guy's balls getting in the way. And Michael Douglas is like 87 years old, so his balls are going to be flapping around, like they're going to be hitting things and knocking over lamps in the next room.
A couple of years ago, the Lamy and me went to see an old 3D porno flick.
Oh, which one?
I honestly don't remember the name of it. We were so fucking high.
I saw one called Blonde Emmanuel.
Oh my God, I think that's what we saw.
Was that? Oh, really? See?
I think that's what we saw.
I don't
think
there was a whole lot of 3D pornos made, but it was like the 70s.
Yes, exactly. There's one called The Stewardesses too.
Oh, okay.
It's although I think that's more softcore than hardcore. I don't think we got any, you know,
what's
inside the vagina shots.
What's the point of that? No, there was the one in Blonde Emmanuel. You take a load to the face.
Yeah,
the
audience. Nobody wants to see a cum shot in 3D. Nobody.
My favorite story about that, I don't know if I've told this on the show before, but I saw it. It was like right when they came out with the NC-17 rating.
Okay.
And I was in high school, and I had a friend who was in college, and he calls me up. He's like, hey, there's at the Drexel North, which was this 800 seat awesome theater in town.
Was it just one screen?
One screen.
So oh, that's fucking beautiful.
It was like 700 or 800 seats. It's a Revco. Oh no, I think it's a fitness center, but it turned into like a Revco CVS, and then But it's what used to have the marathons that I went to last weekend, the movie marathon. So we went to go see this. He's like, "There's an NC-17 3D movie playing there," and it was called Blonde Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel is a series of Italian softcore porn films, but they're very light and nothing. They're just nudity and stuff. So I said, "Let's go see it." So we went to go see it, and we get in the theater, and it was just lit. It was packed with high school and college kids.
Oh my God.
I mean, 800 of them. And so we're sitting, and we're right in the middle of the theater, and it starts playing, and it's like, and you were just like, this.
Wow, wow.
I go, this is an NC-17. They just put an NC-17 rating on it. And the thing is, if you've ever seen one in the theater, they're long. They take, even if it's like 45 minutes, it still takes forever to watch because, after you see one sex scene, you're kind of like, okay. And it's not like you're going to whip it out in the middle.
Let me tell you something. I used to go. There were a couple of times when we went to New York back in the days before it became Disney Eyes. Back when the Grindhouse theaters were still around.
Yes,
I actually got. There was one night where we went to like three different Grindhouse theaters and saw a cheesy gore flick, a kung fu flick, and a porno flick. At the porno theater, there were guys whipping it out.
Well, at a porno theater, you would. I mean, Pee Wee Herman did that.
Oh yeah, that's true. But yeah, not in a place like that. That's true.
No. In an 800 seat theater filled with high school kids, no.
If you did, then wow.
And you don't want to be the guy to like stand up in the middle and leave because they're like, "Why are you leaving?" And you don't want to be like, "Excuse me." I mean, it was the weirdest experience.
Now let me ask you this: is there such a thing as a good porno flick?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, it depends on what your tastes are.
Well, have you ever seen a porno flick that's actually, well acted and maybe has an action, not really a story, but at least something between the fucking that's not just, "Oh, you are so hot, I want you to do me now, fill me with your golden cream."
Golden cream, wow.
See, Star Wars porn.
I think you're confusing what would make a good porno flick, because I guess... Vivid has done Vivid and Wicked have done like actual full blown. There was like a pirates movie, they've done fantasy, like the high end stuff. Like, and they have the sex scenes in there, and they're not well acted, but have a story.
I gotta say, there's one coming out now that I actually do kind of want to see because of what it parodies. They're doing a new parody of Rocky Horror. Only this time, they're actually doing parodies of the songs as well.
Wow. Would they, will they get a real transvestite and transsexuals in there? That would be hardcore.
Well, I know the guy who's playing Frank looks exactly like Tim Curry.
Okay.
It is amazingly disturbing. However, of course, there is no Frank on Brad action.
Why not?
It's a straight porno flick. They're not going to go there.
Oh, okay. I get that. Yeah.
I have to admit, I would have given them massive credit if they had gone there even just for a couple of minutes, not done a full sex scene, but at least started it. But apparently they're not even going there. And, of course, Rocky is a chick.
Well.
If
it's going to be straight porn, you
got
to be straight.
Oh, exactly. I got no problems with that. I actually heard one of the songs on YouTube. They do a parody of Time Warp, only it's called Let's Have an Orgy Again.
Well, why not?
Exactly. But I mean, it's actually, we do a lot of song parodies, so I'm very, I'm pretty anal about song parodies. Mm-hmm. And
what you just said in context.
Yes, I know, and I'm proud of it, damn it. But I mean, all of the words match the meter of Time Warp. I mean, they didn't just do a lazy job. It's actually a good.
It's well written, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. It's actually a well written porno parody. So I'm kind of interested.
Who's
in
this doing it? Is it Vivid or Wicked?
I think it's Wicked, but I could be wrong.
Those are the
two.
Only ones that are going to do it, because you're not going to get zero tolerance. Who is like or like bleached assholes, internal cum shot, that whole thing.
Although I will say this, my last little porno story. There's an old
yeah, because I think we're showing way too much knowledge at this point.
Yes, we are, and I'm fine with that. There's an old one from back when they were still shot on videotape. All I remember, it was called Superstar Sluts in the Slammer.
Part
48.
And,
say what?
Part 48.
Yes, exactly. No, this is just part one. Oh, okay. And they actually had a scene during a sex scene where the chick pulls the script out from under the pillow and reads her, "Oh my God, yes, fuck me hard," exactly like that.
That's awesome.
It's the only scene I remember in the film, and I just remember going, okay, that's brilliant.
That's the only scene you remember?
Well,
you have the weirdest memory. I'm sorry.
It's, you know, I mean, it's even with porn, I do like to be at least mildly entertained as well as occasionally aroused.
Okay. Now, we got to get off this. Bad choice of words. We got to move on. Let's talk about some listener voice. Oh, by the way, so I'm saying Hangover Part 2 kind of sucks. You say it totally sucks.
Sucks royally.
I'm assuming that from your colorful explanation. Let's talk about some listener voicemails. First one comes from Steve Gabe. And he,
hi, Steve.
Yeah, well, Steve or Gabe. He claims his name's Gabe, but I think he keeps saying Steve.
Is that like Steve Dave?
No, nothing at all like that. We're shunning Kevin Smith because he's a douchebag at this point.
Okay, my head is hung in shame.
Okay.
Go on.
That's okay. But no, that I see where you got that. But we have an email of a voicemail from him, so let's quickly play that.
Hey guys, it's Gabe from Arizona. Just wanted to see what your take is on movie advertisements. I remember my dad once told me that the bigger the advertisement is in the newspaper, the worse off the movie's going to be, and I totally agree. I remember in 1996, specifically Independence Day, had a very small ad, at least in Phoenix, Arizona, and I remember respecting that. It turned out to be a very entertaining movie.
Okay, so here you go. Does the bigger or more extreme the advertising, does that translate to a worse film?
Three words, yeah. The Dark Knight.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
That answers the question right there.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's not a rule. I wouldn't call it a rule, but I don't know. It's like, because he mentions in his voicemail that the Independence Day had a relatively small ad. Maybe we're in his paper, but Independence Day, you can't say that had a small advertising campaign.
Oh, dear God. They milked the hell out of that thing when it first came out.
Yeah. So I think that's I don't necessarily believe. I think maybe in the 70s that might have been true, maybe in the 80s. But once they really sort of got to the big summer event films, everything gets promoted. And so everything gets big advertisement. I remember back in 93 when Last Action Hero was battling Jurassic Park as most anticipated one. I think the Last Action Hero ended up winning, being able to put advertising on the space shuttle as it launched.
Mm-hmm.
And Jurassic Park was a far superior film, but I don't think it had anything to do with advertising. I think it's a nice little, it makes an anecdotal thing, but, we get stuff like Hangover 2 is all over the place, and it's not that good of a film, you know, but...
Well, yeah. And also, I hate to generalize here, but I'm going to. Let's be honest. Once you get into the summer, most of the movies really aren't good movies.
Yeah. They're event movies.
Yeah, we do this thing every year called the Summer Movie Googleplex Occipital Lobe Splatathon.
You have a lot of words in your podcast.
Yes, we do. Okay. Oh, that's not, we haven't actually done that on the podcast. That used to be on our written pieces, and we kind of did part one on the Twitter feed a while back.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's basically where we just recap. I mean, every summer we always say, put your brain away because here come the boobs and the bangs.
Yeah. It could be more boobs this summer, though.
It's agreed. You know, I mean, it would be nice, you know, if filmmakers said, hey, can we make like a good example, and this surprised the hell out of me, was Thor. I actually thought Thor was a good film.
I like Thor. And there's another example. There are huge billboards all over the place and huge ads. It's just everyone spends on everything nowadays.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was genuinely shocked. I mean, I was expecting to hate it because I know nothing about Thor. I never read the comic. And the only reason I went to go see it was because one of the guys who wrote it, Ashley Edward Miller, he's got number one on the writing credit here. We've talked to him a couple of times on Twitter, and he actually watched one of our videos, so I felt like I owed him.
Oh, okay.
And we both walked out just going, that was genuinely good. And even Natalie Portman's character may have been underdeveloped, but she was still a hell of a lot better in that than she was in the Star Wars prequels.
Well, but Ben, I've said this, I think, I don't know if I said this on a podcast, I may have just said this to somebody, Natalie Portman blows hot and cold for me. I mean, she does stuff she's great in, you know, like Black Swan, she was fantastic.
Black Swan, ugh.
And even like Your Highness, which was a terrible movie. She was gorgeous in it.
Surprisingly, because there's a lot of pot jokes in it, we have not seen it yet.
Oh, you probably should, because it's right up your alley.
Yeah, well,
or right in your bowl. But Natalie Portman is probably looks her best as she's ever looked in this movie. And she's not a bad, doesn't do a bad job acting. I mean, she got kind of a dopey English accent in it, but I mean, she looks great. She acts well in it. She acts a decent job, but it's a terrible movie.
Understood.
But I've seen her in stuff like, you know, like Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. She looks like a 12-year-old boy. And
what'd you think of Closer?
I hated Closer.
Gotcha.
I wanted to punch Closer in the face. If Closer had a taint, I would kick it.
Damn. I like the way you spew bile, sir. Well said.
Well, thank you. Speaking of spew bile, I think that answers Steve Gabe's question.
It's entirely the movie. It has nothing to do with the advertising.
Yeah, I think everything's advertised big or little now. I mean, like even Black Swan was a great movie and it was advertised little, but then when it was going through the Oscar campaign, you couldn't get away from it.
So. Sure.
Now we got another voicemail from Thomas from Seattle. Oh, so let's go ahead and play that.
Hey, Kevin, it's Thomas from Seattle. Sorry, I haven't sent in a voicemail in a while, but I'll get back into the habit. Hey, I was wondering if you've ever seen a movie under, like, really good circumstances, like you were with a good group of people, and, like, going to the movie was fun, and maybe the movie wasn't so good, but, like, you know, just the environment that you saw the movie in made you have a better memory of the movie than the movie actually deserved. And I just kind of remembered I was in college when Mary Shelley's Frankenstein came out, and we went to just go see it one Friday night. And I don't remember, you know, and objectively the movie's pretty awful, I bet, but like the group I went with was just so fun. And, you know, we had a good time before the movie, we went drinking after the movie, and it was a good time, except for the movie part. But, you know, the whole environment was just like really good. And even now when I think back at the movie, I remember really, really liking it. So I was wondering if that ever happens to you or if it does. Anyway, Thomas from Seattle. Thanks, Kevin. Bye.
So mediocre film or bad film in good conditions. Does the people or the experience around the film tend to change your opinion of a movie?
I have one. I actually got a couple of those, but my first one is because this is actually one of my favorite films, and I know it's bad. I do, and I'm a fan of the source material, is Howard the Duck.
Oh, my God.
I know. Trust me, I know. I complain about bad movies, and I enjoy
that. What'd you do? Did you get laid
one.
After seeing this movie or something?
Sadly, no. Uh-huh. I tried, but I failed miserably. For some reason, that happens a lot. I don't know why. Anyway.
Okay.
When we saw Howard the Duck, like we always do, it came out smack dab in the middle, and yeah, we were both really, really high, and the audience that we were with, it was a pretty packed house, because remember back then this was a new George Lucas produced movie, and they advertised the hell out of that one as well.
It was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, it was. And now I'm a big fan of the comic book, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The original comic book, I think, is some of the weirdest, most surreal crap that came out of the 70s. I mean, I loved it. So I was really excited to see this movie. And we got totally baked, and we're sitting there, and I'm watching it. I had the weirdest sensation because I'm sitting there going, this is not Howard the Duck. This is not Howard the Duck at all.
And you started to get really paranoid.
But then I started giggling.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? The audience was, in fact, enjoying it, surprisingly, considering the reviews. I mean, people were actually laughing at the movie and enjoying it. Mm. And, I mean, as much as I wanted to go, grr, the fact that we were with an audience that was actually giggling, plus the exceptional amount of really good weed we smoked, we enjoyed it. I mean, even the Lamy. The Lamy hates that movie, but he said that first screening he had fun with.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think it can affect. It can make a bad movie better, and it can make a good movie worse. Like I saw Tombstone, which I've since seen, but I saw it. My wife and I were in college, and we went and saw it, and it was in one of the. It was in the theater, and just like a whole bunch of people were like talking, and it was in the bad part of Toledo that we saw.
Oh man.
And it was the most annoying because you couldn't enjoy the movie because people were like going, Huckleberry, yeah, which is, you know, like call back to the screen and everything. That was annoying. And it tainted that experience. But you know, a good movie, you know, if you see a good movie or it can make a good movie better, it can make a bad movie decent. I've always said, you know, sort of like the Goonies effect, and I've talked about this before, where I think there's a lot of people who were there when they were 15, they saw, or when they were like 12 or 11, they saw the Goonies and they loved it, and it was great because then they went home and they rode their bikes and they thought, they pretended like they were on an adventure. And if you watch the movie now as an adult, if you've never seen it, you'd watch it and be like, meh, it's okay. but it's not a part of you like seeing it with that experience as a kid, which is one of the reasons why I think this plays against the Star Wars prequels as well.
I was actually about to mention, believe not the prequels, but Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was back when the limey was working for MI5, don't ask.
Well, you and I are about the same age, so we were kids
exactly.
about the
same
time.
Saw it in the theaters, and I remember, you know, the audience went ape. I mean, every time somebody came on screen, everybody was going, yeah, man, and I was getting into it, you know? And then I remember when it came out on video for the first time. Does anybody remember videotape?
Yeah.
I watched it and I thought, God, this is a really not a good film.
It's for as much as everyone says, oh, we love the first trilogy, or like that, there's a lot more comparisons you can make between Return of the Jedi and Phantom Menace than you can between Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. Now, I love all the Star Wars movies because I just love Star Wars.
You see, I am a huge Star Wars freak too, but I can't get on board with the prequels. Mm. I think they look great. I have always said Lucas is visually an amazing director, but it's just the prequels. I didn't like Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
I hate it. When that kid in episode one said yippee.
Yeah, that's test. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to whack my sack with a hammer.
Wow. It's a good thing there aren't any hammers in there.
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, Jar Jar wasn't as annoying to me as that kid was.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. The whole, but I mean, but as a kid.
I will say, not to interrupt you now, I'll stop after this, but I will say that lightsaber duel at the end was fucking awesome.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what they're there for, is the spectacle and the excitement. The story, plot, and characters have never been that great for that matter.
But okay, only playing devil's advocate here, I do think Empire is a wonderful science fiction film.
It's a great film, but it's got some 3PO quoting statistics. Why does he only do that in Empire? Why?
Because
it makes no sense. What about the whole fact that Luke and Leia, or Leia and Han, they're gone for, what, a weekend? And Luke's on Dagobah for 6 months? That doesn't make sense. Time doesn't work out there.
All right, you do have some valid points
So, I mean, it works, and it transcends its problems. And that's what makes it so brilliant.
I never even thought of those before. Damn you for destroying my view of a perfect sci-fi film. Damn it.
So I do think. So to answer Thomas's question, I do think it can affect the
absolutely.
Way. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's move on. Box office. Let's talk about box office. Last weekend, Pirates. Here's the thing. This is where I have some problems with people saying it underperformed. It made $90 million in the U.S.
I was going to say, hasn't it made $400 million worldwide something like that?
Well, yeah. First of all, just the whole, just look at the domestic box office first. $90 million is a great non-Memorial Day release.
Absolutely.
That's great numbers for a non-Memorial Day release. Did it underperform? It underperformed the people who were saying it was going to make $110 million. But $90 million, I think any producer is going to be like, I'll take it. You know, and one thing they were saying, and I actually predicted it. I didn't think this was going to affect big summer movies as quickly, but I think it happened to Thor, and I think it's happening to the Pirates, and I don't know if it'll happen to Transformers.
Hmm.
It might happen to Green Lantern. The higher 3D ticket prices are keeping people away from seeing the 3D version.
I would buy that. I mean, I saw Thor in 2D.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I had a gift card and I wanted to get snacks too. So, but well, still, you know, I did not miss the 3D in Thor. I have to admit, I wouldn't mind seeing it in 3D, but I had no problem seeing a 2D version.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, I don't think people are staying away from 3D. I think people are just staying away from the higher ticket prices.
The high ticket prices.
They're going.
Oh, yeah.
I can pay $10 to see it, or I can pay $15 to see it. I'm going to pay $10 to see it. I've seen 3D. I don't need to see it again. And that's it. But here's the thing. If it was a dollar more, I think people would have no problem going to the 3D, and they would be happily going, because it's a little bit. I don't mind paying a buck or so more, but $5 more, or, you know, half the price of the ticket again.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
I think
that's just. Yeah.
And I think it. And there was a report. There was an actual financial report that came out and said that hurt Pirates. And I don't doubt that, because especially if you're bringing your kids, a family, three people, is going to cost $50 to see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know a buddy of ours, took her entire family. It was her and four kids, and they spent over about $100.
Yeah. Oh, easy.
For seeing a 3D flick plus all the the $8.50 popcorns they got there and all that crap. Oh yeah, they spent. I mean, $100 for a night out just to see a movie. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
There really is.
Yeah, and that's crazy. It has done well. It's done phenomenal overseas. Which. All of them do. All the Pirates movies do better overseas, and they're moneymakers in the U.S. So, it was $260 million over the weekend overseas, which you add that to the $90 million it made, plus the $40 million it already banked overseas before it opened in the U.S., and it's like $400 million. It's already broke. It's already hit that sort of like that twice its budget.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean... It did well. It's still going to make money. I think it's going to continue to do well, especially not this week, but in 2 weeks, it's going to lose 3D screens. And I think it'll stick around. I think what's happening is it's not keeping people away from seeing the movie. It's just, it actually is going to extend the life of the movie, which bodes better for the theaters than for the studios, because if somebody waits 4 weeks to go see Pirates 4, the studios are getting like half the revenue they get off the ticket from the rentals. If you know the way, because basically the first couple weeks, the theaters take like 80 or 90% of the ticket sales. The studios take that much. And then as it goes off, as it stays in longer, the theater actually gets to keep more of the ticket price.
Ooh, I have learned my new thing for the day. I did not know that.
You didn't know that? Yeah, that was like when like My Big Fat Greek Wedding and like Titanic and Avatar, when those alls do like really well and they're in there forever. Theaters love that, because when it's like a or How to Train Your Dragon, when it's in its fifth week and it's at number one or number two, they're like, yes, because the theaters actually make money then.
Wow. All right. No, that's actually very interesting.
Yeah. So this week, what do you think's going to win? Do you think it's going to be Kung Fu Panda or Hangover 2?
I hope it's Kung Fu Panda, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Hangover 2.
Really? I think it's going to be Kung Fu Panda.
I hope you're right. I sincerely hope you're right. If it does, I will tweet homage to you for several days afterwards on that. I promise you.
Yeah. I think that first of all, Hangover's rated R, and it's a big family movie weekend, so I think you're going to get more people seeing Kung Fu Panda, and I think people are going to proactively go see that. And yes, Kung Fu Panda's competing a little bit with Pirates, but not that much.
Not much. Oh, I forgot this was a holiday weekend. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Yeah, you're right. With this being a holiday weekend, you probably are right with Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Hangover is going to be front loaded. I think it's going to get terrible word of mouth because everyone's going to be like, it's the same movie. I think it's going to be one of those things that whatever it makes on, you know, from Thursday and Friday, that's going to be it.
Yeah. Is there anything else coming out this week?
Nope. Tree of Life is, I think, opening limited, but we're not even going to talk about Tree of Life.
That's
pretentious bullshit.
Thank you, Gaspar Noé.
No, it's Terrence Malick.
No, I know. I'm just talking about more pretentious bullshit.
He's pretentious, too. All right, let's move on to the Fat Guy 5, which is our five favorite number twos. And Two Girls, One Cup does not count.
Aww.
You know what makes me wonder? Are they? I mean, they've got to still be brushing their teeth after that movie.
Well, you know, some of it was actually chocolate pudding.
Not the stuff that you saw come out of her butt.
Well, I know that. I read an interview with the guy, and he said some of it was actually chocolate pudding.
Well, I'm sure some of it started as chocolate pudding.
Oh man.
Anyways.
Yeah, let's move beyond that.
Let's let you do the first
From
one.
From porn to Two Girls, One Cup. Yeah.
What are we going to next? We don't want to know. Anyways, you can do the first one on the list since it's yours.
Oh, all right. Are these in any particular order? The first one.
There
on the
is
list.
No order. It's just whatever is in the list.
That's cool. All right.
Because we don't want to come out on a limb and say the best. Because
that's fine. I'll tell you what. I'll pick the one that you didn't want to put on the list. I'll save that one to save you the trouble for it. I'm going to start off with The Dark Knight.
Oh, okay.
I'll be nice to you since you've had me on the show. I'll take the one you didn't want to put on there.
It's not that I didn't want to put it. It's just so obvious.
Everybody does it. Yeah. But the fact is, it is. I mean, and it's we talked about this beforehand. You know, Batman Begins was an okay film. But, you know, I mean, Dark Knight was just – I saw it at midnight before it opened. The night that it opened. Mm-hmm. Once again, stoned out of my gourd. And as soon as Heath Ledger came on the first time, I'm like, this is the most brilliant thing ever made.
You're like, give me a pencil.
Exactly. That magic trick scene, I'm like, thank you, Chris Nolan. This is, yeah, it just, yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No,
To me, that was the Batman. That was the Joker. I didn't even mind Christopher Bale's weird lisp thing that he has going on as Batman.
Yeah, that was good. And that's the thing. I think this is not just our favorite number twos, but the number twos that were better than the first one. Because yes. That's rare. And that's
very
not
true.
That's not even like Hangover 2 was not better than the first. I don't know. You may have thought because you hated both of them. But yeah. Kung Fu Panda was not better than the first, but it was still good. But these are the ones that we actually think are superior to it. I'm going to throw it on one that's an old one, which is The Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
Going old school because I love Frankenstein. The original Frankenstein is a great movie, but there was so much more depth to The Bride of Frankenstein, and there was so
much.
And
it was funny.
Yeah, it's entirely watchable now. It doesn't even linger from some of the baggage of the day. So
I still watch it. I mean, every so often I'll bring out my classics collection, and you know, I mean, Bride of Frankenstein, it still holds up. It's just a well acted, well directed, funny movie.
Oh yeah, very very good.
I love the fact that, you know, I mean, that was not a retread of the first film.
No, it wasn't. They actually made a big point to make something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the monster talking and all that good stuff. Yeah.
And since we talked about it, and I was defending it more, even though you spoiled the film for me, my next one is The Empire Strikes Back.
I still think it's a great second movie.
Oh, I know. But my thing is, as much as I love Star Wars, you know, I mean, as much as I love the A New Hope Star Wars, the dialogue in it is very bad, and the characters are very much archetypes. Lucas was going for, you know, I mean, power of myth and all that shit.
Yeah, well, and it was, yeah, the story behind Star Wars isn't terribly unique. It's just, it clicked, and...
The thing about Empire is, to me, in that film, they became real characters.
Well, and the other thing I liked about Empire is it went dark without going dark. It's a darker story. Crazier shit happens. It's more depressing.
Yeah.
But it's
not. They don't win at the end. It's just a we survive. Yeah. How awesome is that for a science fiction trilogy?
Well, and the thing is that people nowadays are like, everything has to go dark. They're talking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We're going to go dark. And it's like.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. And I'm like, you don't have to go dark. You can have more intense stuff happen in the story, but you don't have to go dark. Not everything needs to be the Dark Knight. So.
That's very true. Once again, of course, once something hits big, you know, everybody's got to cash in on it because they think that's what the people want to see.
Yeah, as opposed to people just wanting to see good movies,
which apparently we are few and far between.
I'm gonna the next one I'm gonna take is actually one that the last two I agree with this one a little bit more is The Two Towers. Now, I'm not a big fan of the Lord of the Rings movies. I never read the books. I thought they were kind of long and drawn out and bloated, but I thought more stuff was happening in The Two Towers, and I felt that was worthy of all the stuff they put in the movie.
Now I have read the books. I'm going to get flamed by fan geeks for this, but I don't care. I hated the books. I was bored senseless. I love The Hobbit, but, I mean, reading those books was like reading Naked Lunch to me. It was a chore to get through.
What about reading Naked Lunch naked?
That was fun.
Okay.
But still a chore. But, I mean, when I saw the Fellowship of the Ring, the only reason I went was because of the cast.
Yeah.
And I'm a Peter Jackson fan. Meet the Feebles is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, but he doesn't do the stuff he used to do.
No, I would love to have him do one more big-ass CG gore fest. You know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a good. I like his directing style, except for King Kong. And I was like, let's see what he does with Lord of the Rings. In the first movie, it was long, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Second film, once again, like you said, it's darker, the stakes are higher, and that Helm's Deep battle is amazing.
Yeah.
I just absolutely loved that. And all right, now, even though I don't like this series in particular, really, I just, as far as like better movies go for me, we're going to end with The Godfather Part 2.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not a fan of the series. I'm not a big gangster movie fan and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the films because, well, they're classics.
Of course.
So, and we being good entertainment gurus, we must watch the classics.
Of course. No, I get
First,
you.
Yeah, first Godfather, I was like, Marlon Brando, overrated. Sorry, there, I said it. I just didn't care about him. I was more interested in I can't even think of his name now. Sonny, James
Caan. Yeah.
Thank you. James Caan was amazing in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the thing that got me about Godfather 2 and the reason why I wanted to put it on here was I loved the way they told two separate stories that related to each other.
Oh, yeah. And I thought that was what was so neat, is just putting in where they came from, but also what's happening, quote unquote, right now.
Yeah, I thought the writer and the creator in me sat there and went, that is a really neat way of telling a story. Yeah. And then, of course, we got Godfather 3, which was horse shit.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have third movies. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. That's why Dark Knight Rises. Let's not hold our breath too much on that one.
But I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's throw down a couple honorable mentions. The first one I want to give, and again, you're going to get flamed for saying you don't like the books of The Lord of the Rings. I'm going to get flamed by saying The Matrix Reloaded. Not that it was better than the first movie, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I there's a lot of people who did they just heap hatred on that movie. I think more because it's hip and cool to heap hatred on that movie.
I would agree with you on that. I'm not that big of a fan, but the vampires, that was awesome.
Yes. Well, and I liked how they did different things with it.
They did.
But they were still constrained by the universe that they created.
It was not the same film. Hangover 2, you listening?
Yeah, they just didn't rehash the same story. And then Aliens, again, not better than the original, but it's definitely a worthy film for this list.
When we saw that the day it came out, full theater, and this was a large theater too, which was very, very nice. Yeah. When Ripley comes out and said, "Get away from her, you bitch," oh, I have never heard cheers. An audience get that loud in my life.
I did hear an audience get that loud, but that was during Blonde Emmanuel 3D when I was like,
oh, man.
High school.
callback. Bad callback.
You've got an honorable mention here, don't you?
Yes, I do. And my honorable mention is Gremlins 2. Now, as much
the
as I love the... Yes, the new batch. As much as I love the original Gremlins, I love the fact that Dante acknowledged the fact that it was a completely unnecessary sequel.
Yeah.
Made it much more of a comedy, much stranger. And I remember, man, this was why I loved the film. When we saw it in the theaters, it's different on VHS and DVD, but when the film breaks,
yeah.
For a second, I honestly thought the film broke.
They do that in the Muppet movie, too.
When that
the original
yeah,
Muppet movie,
right,
the Swedish
right.
Chef was the projectionist.
Yep. I honestly thought the film broke, and then when the Gremlins popped up on the screen, I'm like, "Oh, Joe Dante, you bastard!"
You've got Christopher Lee. My favorite part of Gremlins. Well, yeah. Well, my favorite part of the Gremlins too. I recently watched it. I showed my kids, and I'm like, "Yeah, this isn't as good as I remember it." But but I love the scene with Leonard Maltin reviewing the first Gremlins and then getting attacked.
Yeah. I just the Gremlins films were just so insane and bizarre, and the first one has one of my favorite Christmas speeches of all time.
And this is so great about that is it's a kids movie, and then like, and Santa spoiler.
Have you heard the story about that?
No.
Real fast, I'll make this as fast as possible.
Okay.
Every single person tried to convince Joe Dante to cut that scene. Everybody did. Finally, Spielberg went up to him and said, I really do not like this. Would you cut it? And Joe Dante said no. And then Spielberg said, good, then we're keeping it. And I just wanted to see if you were going to fight for it or not. Which that gave me a little, respect for Spielberg there.
Yeah. The only thing that bothers me about that is, and I think it's a little more touchy now, because PG back in the day, that was one of the movies that created the PG-13.
Right.
It was that and Indiana
Temple
Jones and Temple of Doom. Back in the day, PG, you could get pretty hardcore with PG movies. There was, mm-hmm. they'd have nudity, they'd have swearing, you'd drop an F-bomb now and then. So you couldn't say that they were family-friendly. Now, if it's PG, it's family-friendly. So if there's like a Santa spoiler in a PG movie, people are going to fucking erupt.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a different thing now, because people think PG. PG meant something very different back in the early 80s. Movies got PG ratings for different reasons. So, and with that, we better go to a break.
Okay.
Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies.
Hello again.
Yay. If you're listening to this on the radio, you can go back to the internet and check out the infamous middle segment. Although, if you're listening on the radio, you probably don't want to go back and check that one on the internet.
But it's fun.
It's fun. We do rate The Hangover 2 as not too good. So we talk a little bit more about that and a lot of other things that we actually can't even tell you what we talked about.
But it's fun.
But it's fun. So what do we have coming up right now here, Ike?
It is time for the world-famous DVD Roundup. Whoosh. Rawhide.
There we go. Yeah, got to have a music cue with that. I'll get Lucasfilm on the phone and get them started already. this week on DVD, there's a handful of movies. The big ones, the new releases from the theaters, is you've got I Am Number 4. Which is better than I Am Number 2, which was the movies this weekend. this one is based on a children's series of books about alien that is hiding amongst us and the bad aliens are coming after him. It's actually a pretty decent movie. Have you seen it?
See I Am Number 4? I can't say that I liked it, but I didn't hate it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it stars Alex Pettifer, who's sort of like the go-to hot young guy now. And he's not that good, but it's got Diana Aragon or whatever from Glee.
It also
has Teresa Palmer as a lickety-split hot cool number 6, and she looks great. I'll watch almost anything Teresa Palmer's in because she's just gorgeous.
She's not Trisha Helfer, but she comes close.
That's true. And she does not look like Kristen Stewart. Thank you very much. There are people, a lot of people think she looks like Kristen Stewart. I don't think she
seriously.
Looks
at all. Wow, that's weird.
Well, in Take Me Home Tonight, she had like these like dead sunken eyes because I don't think she was sleeping or something, and so she kind of looked like Kristen Stewart a little bit.
Gotcha.
But nothing else I've ever seen her in does she look like that. There's also Romeo and Juliet, which was okay.
I was going to ask that one. No, that one I missed. I really had no desire.
It's released by Disney, but Disney didn't produce it. It's produced by Elton John, and they use all the Elton John jokes in the movie, and it's just, I mean, it's cute enough for kids. My biggest complaint about Romeo and Juliet is the same reason. If you remember the movie Ants that came out, about 15 years ago.
Woody Allen and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, it came out the same time as Bug's Life, and Bug's Life was a great movie, but the Ants was okay, but the problem with Ants is they threw out every stupid ant/man pun that you could think, like, you the ant, and stuff like that. And you're just like, okay, I get it. You're using ant for man. We can stop those jokes now, you know? And they just didn't, and they just kept going on. And that's
worse
the thing with
than Smurf.
Yeah. Well, Smurf just was, they had Tourette's syndrome in Smurf. They just randomly said Smurf when they couldn't say something else, but... It's okay. Also, Platoon is out on Blu-ray.
Oh.
Oliver Stone's Platoon with a pre-crazy Charlie Sheen.
Huh.
In Vietnam. Maybe he can blame his psychosis now on Vietnam flashbacks.
I have nothing to say about that, man.
Do you have any DVD picks you want to throw out from this week?
I'm not going to lie. I have absolutely no idea what's coming out this week. I don't even know what's going on tomorrow. So
don't even know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm having for lunch. It could be tuna fish. It could be peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, exactly. It could be just beef Fritos. I have no clue. So no,
I could go crazy.
I am using you, as a matter of fact, to let me know what I might be buying next this coming week. So.
Oh, well, it's what came out this week. So it's already out in the store. So
you
can raise that.
All right, then
now.
I'm not buying anything.
Okay, there's also the stinker of the week is Gods and Generals on Blu-ray. Mainly because Gods and General was the most boring movie ever. Did you see it? It came out like 7 or 8 years ago.
Who was in it? The name sounds vaguely familiar.
Jeff Daniels, I think maybe Jeff Daniels was in it. Or no, he was in Gettysburg. It was a sequel to Gettysburg.
Oh, I remember this now.
Stephen Lang's in it. He plays, and then Ted Turner with his early 2000s haircut shows up at one point with a whole, and you know what they think? They like use like reenactors to shoot the scenes. The problem is if in the real Civil War, most of the people who are fighting were young guys because they just kind of stole them from their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are on the front line, they were young and they were fit.
These guys are in their 50s.
People, the reenactors are old and fat. So it's like you have these regiments of these guys and their bellies are hanging out. And you're just like, this does not look authentic at all.
I do remember this one now. I tried to forget it. Thank you again. You're just ruining my life today.
I know. It's like 8 hours long or something. I fell asleep 3 times in this movie.
Wow.
And like, would you do, when I mean fall asleep, I fell asleep and then woke up. I'm like, wow, I've been asleep for a while. Oh my God, it's still going on. And then I fell asleep again. Oh, it's just, it was an awful movie.
Wow.
So, speaking of awful movies, let's do the review wrap up. The Hangover 2. You said sucked. I said it kind of sucks. I gave it a little bit of an edge because it had some, what, a couple funny moments. Kung Fu Panda 2, which I said it rocked.
And I will be seeing it, so there will be tweeting for me as to whether or not it rocks this weekend.
All right. Next weekend, or next week on the show, we've got X-Men First Class we're going to be reviewing. And that's it, because I think that's the only thing that's coming out next week. For right now, just go to fatguysofthemovies.com to find us. Ike, tell us where you can get a hold of you.
We're on Twitter at It's Mike and Ike, although I'm usually the one doing that. And the best place to find us is at geekplanetonline.com. Our name's all over the place. You can't miss us.
Awesome. So thank you again for doing the show.
Thank you so much for letting me on, sir. I had a real good time, and Michael's going to be really mad he missed this. Oh, well.
He is. That's the limey for anybody who doesn't know. No, you said Michael. Is that different than Mike?
Oh no, I call him Michael.
Oh, okay. That's
I call him Michael. He calls me Isaac.
Do you use his middle name? Do you like Michael William?
No. When I'm mad at him, I just call him the Limey.
Well, there you go. But anyways, we gotta go. Thanks again, and we will talk to you all next week.
Bye-bye.